Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to another Casual Friday Behind the Scenes Mini. I'm Holly Fry.
I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
Tracy, today, I feel like a lot of our episodes lately have been inspired by our current situation. This is definitely one of them, where we talked about Annie Londonderry and her wild trip that was not what she said it was.
Nope.
Around the world.
I imagine that we will probably continue to have episodes, maybe not all of them, but episodes that are in some way inspired by the fact that we are living through a pandemic currently.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, like, I think we're being very deliberate in our choices about, like, we could use some lightness, or this may shed light on how we deal with the ideas of contagion or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. In Annie's case, here's the thing I love about her that we didn't really talk about in the episode, because it's kind of like, you know, just psychological commentary that there's not real evidence for it. It's just conjecture. But I love that when people would point out inconsistencies in her story, she never was like, oh my gosh, I'm mortified. She would just adjust her story to make it all work. Like, she was like doing the fastest footwork ever, where it would be like, you couldn't have gone all this way on your bicycle. And she'd be like, oh, no, I was on a ship, but then I got off the ship and went and did things on my bicycle. And they would be like, you know, couldn't have possibly made it back to port in time. And she'd be like, oh, well, I did. It was just very lucky on my part. Like, it was She was just always rolling with the next, like, moment of doubt. She did not believe in there being bad press. She was definitely like, any press is good press. And she was, as we talked about in the show, in it with some very savvy money-making schemes of making herself essentially a rolling billboard.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, maybe a pathological liar, but I really admire her hustle.
Yeah, when I was first reading through this outline, I was really focused on, like, her clothing and how really uncomfortable and impractical that seems like for a long bike trip, or any bike trip, a bike trip to the end of the driveway, like, really very uncomfortable, impractical. But then when we get to the part about her getting the lighter bicycle, and it became clear to me that the original bicycle had weighed something like 40 pounds, I was just like, but that's so much weight of bicycle.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of reminded me of when people do through hikes of the Appalachian Trail. and they have, you know, the super duper ultra lightweight backpack with the lightest possible things in there. And still there have been incidents. I'm sure people still do this. It would be better if not, because you want to leave things better than you found them in nature. But people just being like, you know what I don't need is this cup anymore. And I'm just going to leave it here.
I'm going to drop it. It also made me think about, I have had a number of friends who do triathlons, and how several of them have that story of the first time I tried like a sprint triathlon, which is a much shorter version. They didn't want to invest in a triathlon bike because they're really expensive, until they had tried one to see if it was something they actually wanted to do and felt like they could rise to the challenge of. And so they often just are like using whatever their bike is, and how that becomes just like the most painful part of that whole thing. It is not the swimming or the running. It's biking on a bike that is not really appropriate for that. And I feel like that was that Columbia bike.
Yeah.
I had read it weighed 44 pounds.
Oof. We have two exercise bikes in our home. So it's kind of a long story how we got two exercise bikes. We did not purchase either of them. They were part of a beta test for a thing. And the seat on the one that I use is so uncomfortable until you get used to it, that I was really thinking about how awful it would be to just be on this heavy bike in your heavy, chafy clothing that stinks and is so heavy and awful when it's wet. And then also probably that bike seat does not feel good under your body.
And she did not have experience as a cyclist. So, I mean, there is part of me that's a little bit judging, as you brought this on yourself, girl. But, it's interesting. We mentioned in the show that between Boston and Chicago, she had lost 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, she describes to people that she actually gained 40 pounds over the course of her trip, because she was doing so much physical exertion that she built up her muscles. Although building 40 pounds of muscle, because she only weighed like 100 pounds at one point, or like 105. She was petite. So building 40 pounds of muscle is impossible, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the accommodations were like on these steamers that she was on, but having just returned from the very ill-advised but ultimately fine cruise that I went on, if you were just cruising around on a cruise ship in the ocean instead of taking your bike ride, it'd be real easy to get off weighing a lot more than when you got on.
Yeah, especially over months and months, but probably not muscle weight. she continues to delight me, even though I think if I actually knew her, I would be like, you are infuriating.
Yeah.
But also apparently so charming that a lot of people didn't care. Even while all of those articles about her being a fraud were circulating widely in the U.S., she was still packing lecture halls, like sellout crowds every time. People were obsessed with her. So one of the other things we didn't mention in the show, I mentioned that she didn't talk about her husband or children. And she was often portrayed as this like single young woman traveling the world. But to kind of like weasel out of what predictably happened, which was many men showing up and proposing to her at random times, she would also claim that like that was another stipulation of her bet, was that she could not become engaged over the course of the trip.
It's kind of awesome.
She's a lie for every occasion. Oh, Annie.
So our second episode this week was on the eradication of rinderpest.
Hooray for eradicating disease.
Hooray for eradicating disease, for sure. Hooray for the opportunity to take an extended look at an error we made many years ago on a show. Also, researching this was a surreal experience, not just because we are living in the middle of a pandemic, and a lot of the things that were being discussed in the attempts to stop rinderpest also are relevant now. Things like isolating people / cattle in the case of rinderpest might be infected. Stopping the movement of the cattle to prevent the spread of disease, all that kind of stuff. But also, I read the weirdest paper. This paper was called British Physicians, Medical Science, and the Cattle Plague, 1865 to 66. It was written by someone named J.R. Fisher, and it talked about that whole effort in Britain to try to stop a rinderpest outbreak by vaccinating the cows for smallpox. So that's weird on its own. I mean, there was
a logic to it.
There was a logic to it. In earlier times, people had also noted some similarities between rinderpest and smallpox. They did not make that up out of thin air, but they were on 100% the wrong track. But where it got really weird was it read like it was out of a Terry Pratchett novel. There was a clerk involved with all of it whose last name was Helps. And then this medical officer who was described discussing the situation with the Cattle Plague Commission was literally named Tripe. And the whole thing was just so strange and surreal. And it had this quote in it that said, quote, "The episode was not one of the more glorious in English medical history in the 19th century." And I just, the whole time I was reading that paper, I was like, am I dreaming right now? Have I fallen into some kind of weird pandemic alternate reality where everyone's name is comical and the person writing the paper is just delightfully glib about the state of things?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We're going to find out later you like completely wrote the whole thing in some sort of Tyler Durden-esque moment of your life for self-amusement and self-care without knowing it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the thing that you found funny was that this episode connects to a kajillion other episodes.
It does connect to a lot of other
quite
episodes.
By accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I feel like that happens more and more, and it's natural because as we cover more and more history, we're connecting dots anyway, but this one really was like,
yeah.
And also that guy we talked about just a little while ago, and also this one too. Hey, do you remember that episode? Like, it's kind of a fabulous connector point.
It also connects to things that we didn't specifically call out it connecting to, like the fact that Koch's research was happening in South Africa at the request of the De Beers company. Like, that has tied to previous episodes where we've talked about the diamond industry and all that kind of stuff. Like, it was just a whole web of things. It also does a really good job of making it clear that things that happen in history aren't confined to the things that human beings are saying and doing. They are also related to animals. Like, we've talked about a bunch of natural disasters on the show before, like volcanoes and floods and earthquakes and that type of thing. We haven't talked about as much about times that there have been huge things related to animals in history. Like, the things that I can think of are this episode, the one on the rabbit-proof fence in Australia after rabbits had been introduced to Australia and there were attempts to curtail the rabbit population with these fences. The emu war was more of an isolated incident in history, but like, I don't think we've spent as much time on how, in a lot of ways, humans and animals are deeply interconnected in the world.
What?
It's so weird.
I don't think we really have either. And it is one of those things that it's easy to lose track of, but that will lead to all kinds of trouble.
Yeah. So I think that's a good place to leave it off for today. If you want to send us an email about this or any other episode, anything we've talked about on the show recently, we are at historypodcast@iheartradio.com. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or the iHeartRadio app or anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days. Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.